and happy Friday. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Friday night, here we go. The weekend is here for many of you. And if it's not there yet, it will be here soon. So, approximately 7:04 Friday night, I am glad to be here. May I please relate to you a quick story from the office today that I think you will find somewhat humorous. You'll find it humorous, especially in light of the conversation that we all had together last night. Now, if you missed the show last night, let me fill you in. One of the things that I mentioned was this, a certain amount of detachment by Nancy Pelosi and others in the Democratic Party as they begin to speak about the crumbs given to the middle class by tax cuts. And the crumbs that Nancy Pelosi was specifically speaking of, if you'll recall, was the $1,000 bonuses that some large corporations are giving to their workers as a consequence of the Trump tax cuts. And, you know, what I told you yesterday was very simple. I said, look, I mean, $1,000, hell, that's a lot of money. And I think the Democrats are a little bit tone deaf on this, calling them crumbs because their supposed base, most mortals consider $1,000 to be a significant amount of cash. Calling it breadcrumbs is bad messaging. Well, I came in this morning to the office, and it was payday. We have a biweekly payroll. That's what it's called, even though biweekly is not exactly right. But anyway, but it's every other week. We every other Friday we have payroll, and today it was payroll. And I walk in. And granted, the staff knows where I stand, and they know that I have politics of a certain persuasion. But no. Many people in the office disagree with me. And some of my best conversations, my best material, come from those people who do disagree with me politically. But I can't, all that is irrelevant because I walk in, and everybody was super excited. And all of a sudden, a spontaneous chant erupted. No, the chant was not Sweet James, Sweet James, Sweet James. No. Nor was it Sam Nation, Sam Nation. Quite the opposite. There was a chant in my office. Trump, 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 Trump. Do you know why? The tax cuts hit. And you know what most people do when it's payday? They check their account to make sure that there wasn't a snafu, that the payroll service did not accidentally deposit the funds in some Nigerian prince's bank account on the other side of the universe. And they just make, it's what we all do, right? We make sure that the money went into our checking accounts. And so the people logged in and noticed what was to them a significant difference. Now, all I can do is relate to you accurately what I witnessed. I can't give you any other color than that. I can just tell you, people were very, very excited. Do you know, by the way, and I don't know if you experienced this yourself, maybe last week or this week or next week, you'll see the difference in pay if you've gone online, gone into your whatever payroll solution company you have, if you can access it online. If you've looked and you've seen that you get to keep more of what you make, I wonder if you are excited about it. I will tell you that the fact that the staff here at my office was excited, and in some cases these are paycheck differences of, you know, $40, $50, $80. But boy, does that put into perspective Nancy Pelosi calling $1,000 a crumb. as long as I have been a living, breathing human, from the time that I've developed some amount of consciousness in this world, I have been painfully aware of how detached conservatives are supposedly to be. If you are a conservative, you do not understand anything about the reality on the ground. You're practically choking on that silver spoon that is lodged in your mouth. And if you're a conservative Republican, well, forget about it. At that point, you cannot even express an opinion about the common man. Well, pretty interesting stuff. Turns out Nancy Pelosi, with her $1,000 breadcrumbs, is totally, absolutely, 100% wrong. It turns out that a handful of people in my office are excited about $80, $100, $60, whatever it is relative to their pay and whatever their deductions are. They are walking away, taking home more money. Now, first things first. One, this happened. I witnessed it, and I can testify to it. So for every one of you that says it didn't happen, I'm sorry. This is firsthand information. It happened. Number two, and this is more important than anything else, all the statements about this Trump tax reform being strictly for the rich, strictly for big business, exclusively for large, prosperous, wealthy, fat cat corporations, all of that nonsense is nothing more than pure demagoguery. Understand that, my friends. Understand that you have been lied to. Now, you know you've been lied to because that's what you expect. If you turn on CNN, if you turn on MSNBC, you expect it. But many of our friends that, you know, are still blindly following the mainstream media, they don't. And the broader commentary here, the big picture, is what? Every one of those people in my office, every one of those people in your office, every one of these good, every person that opens up a paycheck in the next 30 days will be pleasantly surprised that they have more money. And what will they think? Who gets the credit for it? See, that's the real question. Who gets the credit? See, I don't think it's going to be Congress. I don't think anybody in the office, in my office, were they saying, I don't know, the chant was Trump, Trump, Trump. So I don't want to jump right to the, They weren't up there yelling, you know, McConnell, 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 Paul Ryan, Paul Ryan, Paul Ryan. I mean, that's absurd. Nobody gives a crap. Fact of the matter is, this was a tangible benefit that short-fingered vulgarian, as Vanity Fair has called the president, this is a tangible benefit that Trump delivered to the pockets of lots and lots and lots of people this month. It's big. And the consequences are, next time someone who had an extra $40 in their paycheck hears something negative about Trump, they can balance it out with something positive that they had in their bank account. And I know, I don't want to get, what's that expression? Money talks. I mean, I'm telling you, have I not been saying this over and over again? That the 2018 and 2020 races will be determined by the real life situation on the ground. And the first step is that people get to keep more of what they earn. The second step is, and this is where basic economics comes into play, but it also is where human psychology comes into play, which and the two go together. What's the second thing that happens? When you give people more money, what do they do with it? They spend it. And by spending it, now is this a bad thing? Well, of course, your mother says a penny saved is a penny earned. The money circulating back into the economy, the millions and millions and millions of Americans who have the extra $40 or $80 or $100 every paycheck, every 2 weeks, and are putting that back into the economy is enormously, enormously beneficial. And I will explain what I mean. This is, okay, it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but what's $80 times a million? Yeah, it's simple math, right? That's a big deal. That's $80 million. Now, that's going back into the economy in the form of dinners bought, in the form of movie tickets purchased, in the form of, it's disposable income. It's extra money that people weren't counting on. Maybe somebody goes out and buys something for their apartment over at IKEA or whatnot. But the point is, wherever that money lands, that business has more money. That business has more business. And that business will do a number of things. One, because there's a higher demand on their product or their service, they're going to have to do something that all businesses do, and I can speak to this as a business owner. They will have to hire more people, which means those people now, where there was $0 being paid out to a person, now there is, at a minimum wage being paid to the person. And those people now are taking their earnings and spending them where they weren't spending them before. And the compound result of this is tremendous economic growth. You must believe me. In fact, this is one of those shows. We're going to replay this, Robbie, won't we? We're going to replay exactly what I said when we are here in the studio, in the Sweet James Studios. We're talking 2 years from now about why the Trump train is virtually unstoppable. And we're going to say, play the tape back from the 26th of January, 2018. Because this today is exactly why tax cuts work. If you are a Democrat, if you are a liberal, if you're a socialist, you believe that the government is always best equipped and better able to handle money. But the reality is that as much money as can be left with individuals, with companies, the better off everyone is. That money is left in the economy. And it literally will magnify. And people don't know, I understand most wage earners collect a paycheck and consider money to be finite, consider money to be a zero sum game of retaining and earning whatever that benefit is. But the reality is that in economics, you begin to understand that money can multiply. It's like bunnies in a cage. You put money into the economy, and this person spending money over there creates money being spent there over here. And next thing you know, you have a chain reaction of spending, which creates wealth, which creates revenue and income in multiple locations. And this is what America needs. Now, you can say whatever you want about Trump. You can call him whatever you want. And by the way, Trump had a great day in Davos. It was a terrific speech. I'll share bits and pieces of it. And how do I know it was good? Even Joe Scarborough had trouble criticizing it. So there's that bit of interesting stuff on that. But at any rate, you can say what you want about Trump. But I will tell you, Trump instinctively, he may not be a world-level economist, but he instinctively understands that money left in the economy and not taken out by government creates wealth. And we are going to see this. And America is open for business. This is a great thing. And honestly, you know, look around you. Look at your paycheck. See what's happened. And the only concern we all ought to have is California going to claw back any of it? Because there's already big talk about that. Yeah, no, California literally, one of their ideas right now is they're going to claw back some of the tax cuts that Trump put in because they aren't fair. I love when Democrats talk about fairness. Always, and whenever a Democrat talks about fairness, just hold your wallet because you know you're going to get screwed. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And we will talk more about this right after the break.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. In the 8 o'clock hour last night, I mentioned how Missy here on the program are the grand poobah of the Sam Nation show. Missy, her son, John Bertain, was a co-writer and editor, art director of Icarus, which is a documentary on the Russian doping scandal. I mentioned how he had been nominated for an Academy Award, which is really exciting. So after the show, I went home, and it's on Netflix, by the way. So I went on Netflix. I found Icarus, I-C-A-R-U-S, and I watched it. A very, very interesting program. And one of the things that is surprising to me, by the way, I had no idea, by the way, that people, when it comes to doping, when it comes to it mentioned the Lance Armstrong scandal, and one of the key characters. I don't want to give too much away, but one of the key characters in the documentary is a guy who is a pro amateur cyclist. He competes in these events, and he wants to recreate basically the Lance Armstrong scandal. Which, by the way, the key thing there is that Lance Armstrong doped, but at the same time passed all of his tests. So he was screened, I think, something north of 200 times, but never came up with a positive test. Fascinating stuff. But apparently there really is a formula, or was at the time, a formula of how to avoid testing positive for any of these performance-enhancing chemicals or substances. It really is a fascinating glimpse into that world and understanding just how much cheating there is in sports. Now, what's that movie? And I'm really bad at this. I always say, what's the movie? And then producer Robbie has to remind me what the name is. It was a game show. I thought it was John Turturro or somebody like that. It was a show about Congress investigating a game show. Quiz show. That's what it was. Thank you. God, thank goodness. And Bill's on this too. He's a member of the Academy. He knows what he's doing. Well, anyway, unlike me, right? Well, anyway, when I watched the show, well, you know the premise of that movie? The premise of the movie is a giant congressional investigation into cheating on a television quiz show. And I don't know. What's your take on that? What's your take on Congress investigating cheating on a TV show? See, my take instinctively is, what a waste of frickin' time. I mean, what a waste of time. Of course TV is rigged. We know it's fake. And it's part of this, and again I say this, and I mean no offense to some of you who are enormous sports enthusiasts. See, in my neighborhood where I live, there is a prominent member, a former baseball player, that was once upon a time embroiled in a bit of a doping scandal. I will not mention him by name. He's actually a good guy. Great family. I don't know. I'm not going to pass judgment. But I will tell you this. I remember, again, when I was much younger, looking at Congress investigating him and others. I thought to myself, what the heck is this all about? It's sports. It's entertainment. geez Louise, do not we have more important things to pursue? Do not we have, I don't know, dare I say, you know, national security matters that Congress ought to be involved in? Can we not tackle our enormously overburdened regulatory scheme? Can we not work on perhaps streamlining our government a bit? But no, Congress involved in figuring out what baseball player is doping, what game show host is cheating, and I don't know. I think it's for these bodies. I think it's for, obviously, for the Olympic Committee to figure out if their athletes are playing by the rules. And I'm all for playing by the rules, but the involvement of government in this really ticks me off on some fundamental level. So I don't know what you think of that. But anyway, all right. Friday night, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation. We got John Wolfe up next with the news, and we'll be back right after this talking about Trump in Davos. Some great updates. Also, El Chapo. He's in the news. He's picking a jury. What do you do if you're El Chapo and you're picking a jury? Heh. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, back after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Bottom of the hour, Friday night. Here we go. The phone number, if you'd like to be on the program, 800-222-5222. sam@samnation.com is the email. So El Chapo. Do you remember him? He's the drug kingpin, the head of the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico. Do you remember he also very famous for having escaped from a maximum security facility in Mexico, in a Mexican prison? And after his escape, he went on the run. And while he was on the run, he met up with none other than Sean Penn. This is like one of 300 reasons why I can never watch a Sean Penn movie. So, yeah, he met up with Sean Penn and I think Kate Del Castillo. She's the Mexican actress. And BFF of our very own Jillian Barbary. At any rate, so the three of them got together and, you know, and played Mahjong and roasted s'mores, talking about their hate of Donald Trump. At any rate, El Chapo was recaptured, and the Mexicans, after that stunt, were very happy to turn him over to U.S. authorities. And the U.S. authorities now are trying him. I believe it's in Brooklyn. It's in New York City where he is, U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of New York. The trial is set to begin in April. And in a motion to the court, the Chapo's lawyers, you know what they're saying? These things always fascinate me because I'm an attorney. I don't do criminal law, but this is fun stuff. Do you know what El Chapo's attorneys are saying? Your Honor, we promise not to kill the jurors. No, I'm not making this up. That's literally, well, they've written it a different way. But there is a serious fear that with El Chapo's propensity to eliminate anyone in his way, and this is a cartel famous for beheadings, this is a cartel famous for literally dissolving people in acid, okay? Even all the way in New York, as far away from Mexico, right? The purpose of the court of the trial being up there, venued up there, in my opinion, is because it's as far away from the southern border as possible. They have to the feds want to sequester the jury, want to ship the jury from way out, and also keep them anonymous. And this is a big deal. And so this point of contention right now, they're going to the judge and saying, we want to keep the jury anonymous because we fear retribution from Mr. Chapo. And Chapo's lawyers are saying, well, no. Your Honor, I know we may or may not have been kind of bad in the past, you know, with this whole like wiping people out business. But we promise this time we will be good. I will let you know how this turns out. I think probably the feds are going to get their way. do you know one of the reasons why they're going to get their way? So I think that even very sophisticated judges are influenced by media. I'm convinced of this. No, none of us live in a bubble. I mean, unless, you know, you're Ted Kaczynski and you're in the cabin and no access to news. But generally speaking, if you live in a city, if you have access to internet, cable, whatnot, you do not live in a bubble. And I think right now, more than maybe even 2 years ago, there has been this renewed interest in narco-terrorism, right? You've seen these, you saw the Narcos serial on the series on Netflix about Colombia, Pablo Escobar. You've seen, and there's been at least three or four different, you know, different ones that have followed that theme. The interest in El Chapo himself. Look, there is an interest in the subject right now. And I don't think that helps El Chapo at all. I think that, you know, the worst thing that happens is the judge watches, you know, Netflix, watches Narcos on Netflix and sees Pablo Escobar, you know, lopping people's heads off and blowing them up. And then sits down and reads a little ruling from pleading from El Chapo's lawyer saying, well, please, you know, we promise not to kill the jurors. And he's like, yeah, I don't think so. Okay. Yes, I'm going to get to Trump and Davos. Good stuff. Also, the reaction from the left, which I think is even more interesting. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after the break.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky here for my friend, my attorney, my champion, Sweet James Bergner. This is the guy who you want in your corner when you get hurt, okay? Don't go at it alone. Even a simple rear-end accident. You think you're dealing with a good insurance company. You think everything's going to be fine. Wrong. It doesn't work that way. The insurance company, they're looking out for themselves. They're looking out for their insured. And even if that insured is you, they're not necessarily looking out. They want to save money. So what do you want to do? You want to make sure that you're fighting for all of your rights. You want to make sure you know your rights. You want to make sure that you're doing everything correctly. And the only way to do that is to hire the best. Call Sweet James and his team. They are the best. Give them a call, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. You can give them a call 24/7. There's always somebody there that'll pick up the phone. And also remember, all consultations are free. They're confidential. And you don't owe any money until your case is resolved. All right? It's that easy. 800-881-2021 or visit sweetjames.com. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right. Trump went to or is in Davos, Switzerland. This is a very high-end exclusive ski town. Where is it? A good question. Most people don't know. Zurich is the city in, it's kind of the banking, well, I think it is. I think Zurich is still the banking center of Switzerland, but it's the biggest city in Switzerland, even though it's not the capital, and it's in the north, northeast. And Davos is in the mountains in the Swiss Alps, south, we'll call it southeast from Zurich. So Trump flew to Zurich and then took, I believe he flew to Zurich and then took Marine One helicopters down there, arriving triumphantly the other day to great fanfare. By the way, in 18 years, Trump is the first sitting U.S. president to attend this conference. It is a world forum attended by various, important people, titans of industry and that kind of thing. And I think the interesting takeaway from this is that everyone expected that Trump was going to be persona non grata because Trump is America first, America first at all costs, and screw the world, and we don't want to engage in the world, and we're isolationist, and we are anti-trade, and screw everybody. Right? That's the narrative about Trump. But the reality is that Trump shows up, and they are all very excited. Do you know why? Well, the globalists, it turns out, really like that the corporate tax rate in America went down from 35% to 21%. Why? Okay, good question. I'm glad you asked. Well, the reason they like that is because America is the biggest market in the world. Look, if you're Daimler-Benz, right? If you're Mercedes, you make Mercedes cars. When I go to Europe, when I visit towns, even fairly large cities in Europe, and I look at their Mercedes dealership, they've got like 20 cars on the lot. That's all they're selling in, town X. Yeah, if you go to Stuttgart, you go to Frankfurt, yeah, there's bigger dealerships. I get that. But if you go to any random town, it's 20 cars, if you're lucky. That's all they have on the lot. And why is that? Because there are not that many people buying those cars there. Now, you go over here, just a few miles away in Newport Beach from where I'm at here in the Sweet James Studios, and what do you see? Literally, in terms of volumes of cars sold, the largest Mercedes dealership in the world. And why is that? Because every nincompoop in an apartment goes out and leases a Mercedes. Because that's who we are. I mean, Americans are a consumer society. We are a great marketplace. So, what does every big business in the world that has a good to export to the U.S., has exportable goods to the U.S., what do they want? They want to be able to do as much business here as possible. And as soon as they have to be figuring out where to domicile their U.S.-based operation, whether to put it in Ireland or put it over here or there, in order to get away from that horrendous, stupid 35% tax rate, that creates problems for everybody. I'm telling you right now, the globalists love Trump for that reason alone. It's just one more example of why people are starting to love the Trumpster. All right, MSNBC and their reactions on Joe Scarborough up next. You do not want to miss this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio,
790 KABC.
All right, as promised, let me get to some of these moments in the Trump speech. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Roughly 4 a.m. our time here on the West Coast, Trump was speaking in Switzerland. And my favorite clip from his speech, now he sounded a little tired. I'm going to tell you that right now. He was a little tired. And it might be because Melania has reportedly moved out of the White House. Have you heard this? Ever since that Stormy Daniels story broke out, she's pissed. So she's living, this is tabloid stuff, but she's living apparently across the street in some fancy hotel in Washington, D.C. She's mad at him. And if there's any truth, of course, to the affair, then she ought to be. She ought to be. Hillary never moved out because she doesn't have any self-respect. But anyway, there it is. Here we have Trump in Davos saying America is open for business. Listen to this.
The world is witnessing the resurgence of a strong and prosperous America. I'm here to deliver a simple message. There has never been a better time to hire, to build, to invest, and to grow in the United States. America is open for business, and we are competitive once again.
See, and this is a good thing, right? Okay, if you're a titan of industry, I don't care if you live in Germany or if you live in Saudi Arabia, having the United States open for business, having the United States be a market. Remember what I told you at the top of the hour? About the folks in my office who are talking about their extra $80 that they got this pay period, and they're excited about it. Well, you might think that's nothing because, you hang out with Nancy Pelosi playing bridge in her home in San Francisco. But you know who's excited about the extra $80 that each of these people in my office are getting? These guys, the Davos crowd. Because an extra $80 every 2 weeks in the pockets of millions and millions and millions of Americans in the world's largest, most sophisticated marketplace means better business opportunities for them. You see? If you sell a good, if you sell, I don't care, I don't know, I don't care if you sell stuffed Pokemon toys. It doesn't matter. You want the customers that are going to buy your toy to have more disposable income, plain and simple. It's a good thing. So at any rate, America opened for business, the crowd loved it. Now, how do I know that the speech wasn't a bad speech? How do I know it? Well, I know it because Joe Scarborough this morning said that the speech was probably not a disaster. Listen to this.
Of course, this president is graded on a very low curve. Obviously, there are many things that the president said that most would not say. It was braggadocious. It was the sort of thing that American presidents do not usually do when they go overseas. But again, it probably was not a disaster.
It probably was not a disaster. I don't think Trump could have gotten any better praise from MSNBC. You remember yesterday when we were playing that clip of Joe and Mika bitterly complaining about the probe into the FBI? How dare you denigrate the good men and women of our FBI? I hope this was worth it, sneered Mika. Well, anyway, if those two can say, hey, well, this is probably not a disaster. High praise, in my opinion. All right, Christiana Montour weighed in too much as well. Too much, obviously, always too much. From CNN, I'll tell you what that is. Jim Acosta as well. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios, located in an undisclosed place deep behind the orange curtain. 1-800-222-5222 is the phone number. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Okay, before I get to Christiana Montour, but perhaps tangentially related, do you remember how one of the big issues during the 2016 campaign was the question of no-go zones in Paris? Yeah, if you don't remember this, Trump said it about London. He said it about Paris, and in both countries and both cities, there was a bit of pushback. And what it relates to is police officers feeling unsafe in certain neighborhoods, traveling into them predominantly because in certain neighborhoods, there are so many migrants from North Africa and the Middle East that they form, there are lawless zones. Police get attacked. These are areas where Sharia law is de facto institutionalized. And certainly a heightened amount of violence. So this is not the type of Paris, for example, that you imagine watching romantic movies with Harrison Ford, you know, kissing ladies near the Champs-Élysées. Now, in that vein, the Daily Mail today reports that the Paris Zoo is evacuated after 52 baboons escaped their enclosure. And I bring this up because the biggest zoo in Paris went into lockdown today after around 52 large and very potentially aggressive baboons escaped their enclosures. All were seen running amok in the French capital zoo. This is in the Vincennes Woods soon after midday. Do you have any idea what 52 baboons on the loose can do? I mean, for starters, if the Paris cops are afraid to go into a neighborhood that is occupied by North Africans, what are they going to do in a neighborhood that's occupied by 52 baboons? There's a full-scale retreat going on here. Do you think they're not? No. Let me tell you something about baboons and all monkeys and primates. When we've handled these type of cases, by the way, you do not want to mess with any kind of a larger primate. Gorillas, chimpanzees, baboons, anything like this can be very aggressive and will attack people if they're threatened. So As of this afternoon, apparently, they recaptured all but four of them. And the dominant males all came back. This is a key thing because the dominant males are the leaders of the monkey pack. So this is sort of like, you know, when Congress gets in there and is negotiating with the president. But as soon as Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer retreat, those are the dominant males. They retreat, and next thing you probably hope that Durbin is somewhere close behind, going back to the Capitol. No, I can't be too cruel. But anyway, this is a big news story. I felt I had to share this with you. All right, Trump in Davos, the deregulator in chief. This is Christiane Amanpour and Jim Acosta. Talking about Trump's economic success. And, you know, what I mentioned last hour about how the economic crowd, well, the titans of industry, right, these various business persons that are attending this conference, big CEOs of big corporations and the like, are having the same reaction to Trump as the people in my office, in your office, you and me, who now are getting their paychecks and seeing a significant reduction in taxes as a consequence of the Trump tax cuts. So all of us, we actually are in the same boat. The media wants to portray it as tax cuts, benefits for the rich. Tax cuts and benefits for big corporations, big business, evil for-profit enterprises. But the reality is, my friends, the reality is that the rank and file American, for them, $80 in their pocket is actually not essentially, but actually the same thing as millions of dollars in the pocket of a large corporation. After all, money is just a question of scale, right? It's relative. Well, I thought Democrats and our friends on the left would understand the theory of relativity. So I say all this because the Davos crowd, these business people, are really excited about the corporate tax rate in America dropping from 35 to 21% because it allows them to operate in America while maintaining their business interest here. What do I mean by this? All right. So, for example, I mentioned Mercedes last hour. I mentioned how when you go to Europe, the market for Mercedes is not that huge relative to the population, relative to the United States. And bear with me here. If you go to the Czech Republic, for example, and the Czech Republic is fairly well-to-do, my parents' country, I visit there quite often, or even Germany, you see a Mercedes. But the number of high-end Mercedes cars that you see in Southern California, it dwarfs it. The largest Mercedes dealership is here. It's down the street from me, as a matter of fact, in the world, in terms of volume of cars sold. So for Mercedes, for BMW, for other companies, Bosch, let's say, all right, European companies that do business in the United States, the United States is a vital market. Fair enough? You see what I'm saying? Vital market. But they, in order to operate in the United States, have to have a U.S. arm of themselves. For Mercedes, if you don't know, this is MBUSA, Mercedes-Benz USA. And that is a separate entity. It is a separate entity. Now, that entity, when it was a 35% tax rate, I can't vouch for this because I don't know how they do it. But I virtually guarantee you that MBUSA had some other shell company somewhere that was taking money from here and funneling it around, because no way in hell is Mercedes paying 35% on taxes when they can shuffle it through somewhere else and be paying 15. Now, that huge shuffle is not worth it if the delta is 15 to 21, is 6%. But it becomes extremely prosperous for them if the delta is 20%. 15 to 35. So all these people are super excited about this. And even CNN admits as much. Here, listen to an exchange between CNN's Christiane Amanpour and CNN's Jim Acosta about it. But and they still, by the way, listen to this. They still want to give credit to Obama for all this stuff. Yeesh. Listen.
There's no doubt that the Davos crowd loves the corporate tax cuts, cuts, loves the stock market, loves the fact that the economy is doing well. Most will say that the U.S. economy is building on the Obama years, building out of where it was going since the financial crash.
He was taking credit for this booming U.S. economy over the last year. Obviously, the president can take credit for that. He's the president of the United States. But as Christiane was saying, some of this is building on what was happening during the Obama years.
Acosta, I will tell you this, saying that sentence, he literally, he probably went to the bathroom to puke afterwards. He is nauseous having to report on this. Because why? Because the whole story that the story was supposed to be that the world is collapsing, that the economy is collapsing, Trump is driving us into the toilet, the stock market's going to crash. You remember reading these predictions from respectable publications this time, oh, I don't know, a year and 3 months ago? In the fall of 2016, it was the sky is falling. When it came to even the remote possibility of a Trump presidency. And I am going to tell you why. The left does not understand how economics work. They do not get it. Obama and his acolytes think that the way you stimulate an economy is the government collecting obscene amount of taxes from people, placing untold regulatory burdens on American business, collecting as much revenue as they can, and then taking that money and giving it and rewarding businesses that they think will be successful. This is statism. This is Mussolini-level nonsense. It's garbage. It has failed in every single application that it has been tried in. And what works, unfortunately, and I hate to break it to you that Trump is right, but what works is allowing the free market to do its thing. The free market reacts to what you and I want because we are voting with our dollars. If we want more of that good and less of that one over there, that's what we get because we're spending more over there with that one company where we like what they make better. If that bank screwing up, going belly up, losing deposits, well, hell's bells. Ah, we're out of there. I don't need the government telling me. It's nonsense. And banks will protect their investment so long as the government isn't stepping in and guaranteeing them in case of failure, right? And that's basically the only cause of the financial crisis that's referenced here by CNN. So libs do not understand how the economy works, and that is why they are so flustered and they are so pained. You ought to see the look on Amon Poor's face having to talk about this. And Jim Acosta, he looks like he saw a ghost. Yeah. Trump was taking credit for the booming U.S. economy over last year. Obviously, the president can take some credit for that. He's the president of the United States. He's the president. I guess he can take some credit. He's the president of the United States. They're dying. Meanwhile, Trump Russia is a giant. Okay. The FBI. I just had a lunch today. I'm telling you, we're talking about the FBI. The FBI is literally, the scandal is broadening and widening to the point where it's going to end up, Trump's going to be fine. The economy's going to be booming. The FBI literally is the one that's going to, there will be indictments. The NFL's ratings are crap. So all of this in the end may turn out quite differently than MSNBC, CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, so forth and so on, predicted. Aren't you glad you listened to this show? What the heck would you do if you read the New York Times and took it for gospel truth? They have lied to you. You don't even have to like Trump. Fine. I'm just telling you. He is succeeding at everything he's doing because he is routinely underestimated by his opponents. And if you don't like Trump, you better start at least understanding that he's not retarded. You've got to understand that he gets it. That he gets it. And his opponents, okay? His opponents are routinely underestimating him and in turn are overplaying their hand. The best example of this, oh, there's so many, but the best example, the Obama administration on their way out. They thought they needed to hang Trump by hook or by crook. So out, they used that Steele dossier that was Oppo research by Hillary Clinton. The FBI went in and actually tried to make financial arrangements with Christopher Steele, the guy that wrote it, used it for a federal warrant. And now it's all going to come back to them. They were so sure of themselves, their own nonsense, and that they what? They bought it hook, line, and sinker. It's fantastic. What a wonderful time to be alive. All right. I got another clips here when we come back from the break on Davos. And Trump is still meeting with world leaders, and he's doing great. He's doing great. And the impression I have looking at these meetings, by the way, is that he's a little bit of the belle of the ball. They're glad he's there. They're glad he's there. And he calls himself, I'll play this clip when we come back. He calls himself a cheerleader. And well, not in a hashtag me too kind of way. He's a cheerleader for the United States. And when we come back, I want to explain why this is important. This is really what the president ought to be doing abroad. And it's a departure, certainly, from the Obama years. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC, 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Now, Trump at Davos, Switzerland, talking about what he thinks is his role as president of the United States when abroad. Listen to this.
I think I've been a cheerleader for our country. And everybody representing a company or a country has to be a cheerleader, or no matter what you do, it's just not going to work. And the reason I'm a cheerleader is because it's easy, because I love our country, and I think we're just doing really well. And we look forward to seeing you in America, special place, and where you are is a special place also. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
You know what's remarkable about this? How many years, I'll tell you exactly, 8, did we spend listening to Obama being a male sex organ everywhere he went across the world, representing our country on basically an apology tour after apology tour? You know, Obama's principal problem was he didn't believe in America. Obama's principal problem was he thought America was inherently unjust, that America was criminal in many of its actions abroad, that it abused various countries and cultures and owed a historical debt to the global community for the crimes, for the wrongs that America committed. This was the Obama administration mentality whenever the president's butt left the United States. Well, it was here too, but I'm saying when Obama traveled abroad, it was always thematically apologetic. And Trump is exactly the opposite. He is thematically unapologetic. He's a proud American abroad. He is, as in his words, a cheerleader. But you get it. It's simple language, but it's straightforward. And there he is now as we speak in Switzerland, and he is representing American businesses and literally a salesman for these companies, men and women who represent big businesses throughout the world for doing more business in the United States. Now, okay, you don't like Trump. Fine. Do you have a paycheck from somebody? Did somebody pay you? Okay, I get it. If it's the city of San Bernardino, maybe this doesn't really affect you. But if you are getting paid by a private entity somewhere, somehow, hey, the global marketplace is all interconnected. The more companies abroad that want to do business here, the better it is for all of us. And in this sense, it is critical that we have a president that attract foreign businesses, attract foreign investment, attract the kind of economic opportunity that benefits us all. So right now, I will tell you something. Trump is working for you. Trump is abroad and he is bringing dollars back to here to the United States. This kind of welcome mat, or I don't even welcome mat, but incentive isn't even the right word. I would just say this is confidence inspiring salesmanship. And for all of you that said, yeah, Trump was all talk and no action, and he was one of these overhyped, you know, basically, I don't know, hot air type people. Fine. But I'm telling you right now, out there, America needs it. America actually needs a cheerleader. And it's because we were in an abusive relationship for 8 years. Anytime our president went out there, he was like, oh, her? Yeah, she's ugly. And by the way, she sucks. He was talking about America. And the whole time, you and I are sitting here and going, you know what? Screw you, pal. Because we are great. We are. And we have great opportunities here. And maybe we'd have better opportunities if we weren't for crap policies. Anyway. You know who doesn't have crap policies or anything crap is John Wolfe. He delivers the news up next, and I'll be back after that. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio
790 KABC.
Amigos, haters, patriots, freedom lovers, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Bottom of the hour here, 8:34, Friday night. Your weekend, I hope, is off to a smashing start. If you're on your way home, God bless you. The weekend is close. I promise you that. 800-222-5222. If you have no one to call, give me a call. Sam at samnation.com is the email. If you have nobody to email, email me. I do check those. I do read those. And I do, as needed, I do respond. So the immigration debate that I talked to you about yesterday has mostly been there's been not a lot about it today. Granted, it's overshadowed by other news of Trump and Davos. So I will follow this, of course, next week. We're going to be back here on Monday night and off on Tuesday for the Kings. So we're back on Monday. So whatever developments there are on immigration, I will get to it. A lot of people disagree with my assessment, though, and I like that. I always get worried when I'm following too much of what the groupthink is. Well, I'm one of those people that if everybody wants to go left, I'm going to go right. It has nothing to do with political positions, but I just mean, you know, if everybody wants to go one way, I'm going to go the other because I get a little worried when everyone is thinking the same thing. And this is why, this is one of the reasons why I don't know. I mean, it's one of the reasons, it doesn't explain why I like Trump, but it does explain why I'm the kind of person that was willing to give Trump a chance when he was polling at 1%. And when any reasonable person quote unquote reasonable person, was denouncing him. And I think that, look, Reagan, Bush 1, Bush 2, Clinton, Obama, I mean, look at how many presidents have come and gone and tried to deliver some type of immigration reform, quote unquote, immigration reform. And it hasn't happened because these presidents have all historically been unwilling to expend the kind of political capital that it takes to fix this issue once and for all. And the once and for all solution is a sealed southern border. You do not have to be a genius to figure this out. You know what it reminds me? You know what? Every time I talk about the wall, I keep meaning to tell you the story. Back in the day, I live here in Orange County. Back in the day, Disneyland used to have a very porous fence. You know this? I mean, it was basically all of 6 feet tall. And some of you who are perhaps a little older and maybe live here in Orange County or have lived here in Orange County, remember the days of sneaking into Disneyland. This was a rite of passage. Disneyland, I know this will shock you, Disneyland had an illegal immigrant problem. Now, what makes somebody an illegal immigrant in Disneyland is if they don't pay the admission fee, right? Yeah, no ticket, no admittance. What do you think fixed that problem? Well, it's not a mystery, right? It's not. This isn't a trick question. I'm not trying to fool you. They built some big money fences. Go to Disneyland now. Look at the fencing that's around there. Yeah, you're not getting across that. No chance. Well, there's also some security, but it's really the fence. I mean, there was security back in the day too, but people would routinely sneak into Disneyland. Why? Because being inside of Disneyland was desirable. Disneyland was a place to be. Well, yeah, you could do a lot. Even when they had the tickets for the rides, you know, the e-ticket rides, that's where that word comes from. That was the highest level of tickets. So like the best rides were e-ticket rides. You still had to pay admission to get into the park, and then you had a ticket book to go on various rides. But it's still, going into the park itself was great. If you could sneak in, it was a great thing. But I don't know. We in America have a great concept of private property rights. You know, nobody wants their neighbor encroaching on their property line. But all of a sudden, it comes to the southern border, and we're like, oh, please, no problem. What border? What border? Huh? It's nuts. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio
790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here for my friend, my attorney, Sweet James Bergner. Now listen, if you were in Paris and those baboons, one of those 52 baboons that escaped the zoo, made their way to the Champs-Élysées or perhaps the Eiffel Tower and nibbled on your derriere, what do you need? Don't let them get away with it. Don't let those French baboons get away with doing that. Call Sweet James. Him and his team will help you. Look, car accident, motorcycle accident, bicycle accident, baboon bite accident, dog bite, whatever it is. Give them a call. Do not do it yourself. Don't try to call, you know, the insurance company or the French embassy or whatever. Hey, you owe me money. Don't do that. Have Sweet James do it. So much easier, so much better, less hassle, and you'll know your rights. That's what most of this is all about. You got to know your rights. Okay, how do you reach them? Easy. 800-881-2021. 800-881-2021. That's the number that you call to reach Sweet James. You also can look at his website, sweetjames.com. And remember, all consultations are free. No recovery, no fee. Consultations are confidential, so you have really nothing to lose. 800-881-2021, and sweetjames.com is the website. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right. This is exactly what I was saying last night. Trump's amnesty for 1.8 million Dreamers causes storm on the right. But Democrats hate it, too. president says it will be crying Chuck Schumer's fault if it doesn't go through. Now, what did I tell you last night? Well, I said it was a setup, essentially. I said that the deal was so good that if the Democrats don't take it, they look dumb. There's a other bit of news that dovetails into this in a way. You know, Steyer, he's the big California billionaire who has pledged. He was the one who was Tom Steyer, right? He's the one who gave $10 million or whatever to an impeach Trump effort. Information leading to impeachment proceedings, something along those lines. Well, he's a big benefactor of the Democrats. Do you know that he has withheld all support for congressional Democrats in the Democratic Party as a consequence of Schumer's, you know, capitulation on DACA? This is all going back to the negotiations surrounding the budget extension. And Schumer was trying desperately to bootstrap the DACA protections onto that and failed miserably. And it ended up not getting attached, and DACA is still on the table. The Democratic base, the agitators, and also, of course, the activists that have the cash. Remember, politics requires money. Elections are expensive. Money talks. So in that sense, you got to listen to when you see a big billionaire saying, I'm not giving any money to Democratic causes anymore, and he's routinely good for tens of millions of dollars each year. That is a problem. And it's a, and you see, this is carefully, methodically, death by a thousand cuts, Trump is putting the Democrats into a very difficult spot. Because on one hand, he did not, and thank goodness, congressional Republicans held firm. They did not allow for any even temporary DACA protections to go through as attached to this budget deal. Now, but instead what happened is that did not happen. And instead, now we are here and it is an independent issue that can be negotiated. The Democrats and the base want to get it done. But see what is and see, this is exactly it. Trump's already baiting. Schumer says it's going to be his fault if it doesn't go through. It's a great deal. And trust me, if the Democrats could have gotten 1.8 million Dreamers on board by simply giving a budget extension, man, they would have done that in a heartbeat. The reason they're not doing it immediately right now is because attached to this deal is $25 billion, which is, I think, more money than they need to build the wall. So interesting how this plays out. The Democrats may end up having to pay for a wall in order to get what they want, or not get the wall, but then have to face their own voters as being do-nothing obstructionists. It's a lose-lose, frankly. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. One of the things that Trump stressed in Switzerland today in his speech was deregulation. And he calls regulation, okay, something here that's very correct. He calls it stealth taxation. Listen to this.
Regulation is stealth taxation. The U.S., like many other countries, unelected bureaucrats, and we have, believe me, we have them all over the place, and they've imposed crushing and anti-business and anti-worker regulations on our citizens with no vote, no legislative debate, and no real accountability. In America, those days are over. I pledged to eliminate two unnecessary regulations for every one new regulation. We have succeeded beyond our highest expectations. Instead of two for one, we have cut 22 burdensome regulations for every one new rule.
Whoa! Very important. Now, as Trump and as the federal government is working to decrease regulation, and decrease taxes. I want you to all know that our legislature here in California, together with our nutso governor, is hard at work to make up, to pick up the slack. Yesterday, Reason.com reported that California is considering a $1,000 fine for waiters who offer unsolicited plastic straws. There's an Ian Calderon, you know him, the Democratic majority leader in the assembly, has introduced a bill to stop sit-down restaurants from offering customers straws with their beverages. I guess you have to specifically request one. Hey, I want a straw. Remember, this is the same nonsense that we had with water during the drought. Did it save any water? No, it didn't. But every time I sat down in a restaurant, they'd offer me a cocktail right away, but they wouldn't give me a glass of water. Why am I getting so smashed? Oh, maybe it's because I need to drink some water and not the cocktail. But this part, see, this is really what Trump said there about regulation being a function of bureaucrats who are unelected. There's no legislative debate, no real accountability. Putting in rules that affect us all and restrict us all. Yeah, this is okay. This is this Ian Calderon thing is a bill being advanced. I get that. But given that there's virtual supermajority in the state legislature here of Democrats, I don't know what kind of real debate there's going to be on this issue. One of the most fascinating things about this piece, my friends, is that there is a figure of 500 million straws that is being cited. Let me explain what I mean. The article says here, Reason Magazine, Calderon, along with news outlets writing about this issue, unfailingly state that Americans use 500 million plastic straws a day, many of them ending up in waterways and oceans. Okay. Now, how many people do we have in this country? It's not 500 million. What is it, right? Where are we at right now? 320? So that is more than one straw per day per every single American. See, I don't believe that for a minute. And neither do you. Come on. That's BS. So where in gosh's name did this number come from? Well, apparently a guy named Milo Kress from EcoCycle did a phone survey when he was just 9 years old back in 2011 and came up with that number, and it's being used by everybody. You cannot make this stuff up. All right, my friends, that's it. We're done. Have a great weekend. See you here Monday, 7 p.m. Looking forward. Enjoy. Please have a great weekend. See you soon. We'll be right back.